Well, good evening, Potter's Foursquare. Hope all is well. Welcome to our Wednesday night study. We are in the book of Ephesians, and we are rapidly going through the entire book. We are in chapter 5, the latter part of chapter 5. And I want to make you aware of where we are. So the first distinction, really, in Ephesians is that the first three chapters, I know you've heard this before, but I'll remind you again, are our position in the Lord. And then the chapter 4, 5, and 6 are really areas specific to our walk. And some of those areas specific to our walk are for the individual. And then after the individual sort of specifications are made known, then Paul goes on to Christian households, how they should function, the role of a man, the role of a woman, the role of children, the role of employees, and things of that nature. And so we are in chapter 5, verse 25 through 33. And last week we discussed the command for wives to submit to their own husbands. And this command, again, was for wives only. It's not a command for men to hold their wives accountable. It wasn't written to a man. It was written to women. And men were not given permission or the ability to, again, demand this. It's something that comes in a more reciprocal nature. When the husband is loving the wife the way that he should, then I think submission is probably something that follows naturally or organically. So this week we're going to focus on the instruction to men, and just as the same as last week, the instruction for women is for women, and the instruction for men is for men. And women aren't to say, to hold us accountable for this particular thing, you know, constantly saying, you need to love me the way Christ loved the church. It's not something that we do because our wife commands it. We do it because the Lord commands it. So remember the caveat. The caveat is at the beginning of this text when he starts talking about submission. He says, submit to one another in love. And then Paul gives the instruction for personal responsibility to commit regardless of the actions of the other party. Now, what does that mean? Like it was with women, when women are called by God to submit, they submit to a husband and they don't wait for their husbands to love them the way Christ loved the church. They just submit. And the same is true with a husband. He is to love his wife the way Christ loved the church. And it's not reciprocal. In other words, he's not waiting for his wife to submit to him. So as we stated last week, men have the greater responsibility to God in this matter. And that's my personal opinion. And I believe this text tonight is going to help develop that truth. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 33. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it and care for their own body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, and I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the ability to study it freely, Lord, in this country. And we come to you tonight and we ask in Jesus' name that you give us eyes to see what the Spirit is doing in the church and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church through the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. And we are here at your service, Lord, to learn and to listen. And I pray that you help us in both of those activities tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are here tonight to study to show thyself approved, one who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. That is us. So let's go on to some observations. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the vital instruction for husbands in their relationship with their wives. And I think that this, these commands that Paul gives the church, particularly to the men, are commands that can not only save your marriage, but allow your marriage to thrive, right? Verse 25 gives the basic command to husbands, love your wives. And in case anybody wonders, right, let's just develop this now. The Greek word, I know we don't normally do this until interpretation, but the Greek word here is agape. And husbands are to love their wives with the kind of love that is selfless and sacrificial and unconditional and submissive, right? And a husband, it's his job to make sure that his wife is, that his desires for her are for her best, right? And I think when a husband loves his wife, that's sort of the first thing, that whatever he has truly desired for her, that it's for her best interest and not in his interest. And he must work for that best. He must work to that degree, regardless of the cost to himself. So when a husband loves his wife, he's allowing her to be a recipient of the things that she desires. In other words, if we're looking at this through the lens of the Bible says that when we walk with the Lord, that he will give us the desires of our heart. When a woman submits herself to her husband, the reciprocal response to that is the husband is going to give his wife the desires of her heart, and he's going to set aside himself to do it because it's what's best for her. And in 26 and 27, these particular verses here, this is specific to Jesus and the church. You know, a husband cannot cleanse his wife or sanctify her or wash her or present her to God blameless. He can't do that. And so we're going to develop that later on in the study. Husbands, you know, the husband is to care for his wife the way that he takes care of himself. That's something that we can draw directly from this text. And the standard here is just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, Ephesians 5:25. The love of Christ took him to the cross. That's what it did. Because the Lord loved the church, he ended up on the cross for the church. The love of Christ took him to the cross, and the love of a husband for his wife will involve similarly giving of himself, even to the end, right? Our job as husbands is to cover and protect our wife, and a husband loves his wife, and a wife respects her husband. Now, we're going to develop that last line a little bit more in our study, but I want to read it again because I want to make sure that you understand. There are two separate needs and two separate desires here. A husband loves his wife, and a wife respects her husband. And so let me flip that around. A husband receives love by his wife respecting him, and a wife receives love by her husband loving her unconditionally. There are two separate needs going on, and I think that understanding those roles in marriage is key, right? It's key. So, interpretation. Number one, a husband's love should model Christ's love. In other words, if you're looking from afar, the way that a husband is loving his wife should be a direct result taken from Scripture for the way that we see Jesus loving the church. The goal of a husband in loving their wives is also addressed as well. And that you know, the goal for Christ, for the church, his bride, listen to what this is. It's in Ephesians 5, our text, 26 and 27. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The problem with that text is that husbands cannot sanctify their wives exactly like Christ sanctifies the church. We don't forgive sin. They can set a spiritual goal for their wives and being all that Christ wants them to be. That's fine. Then husbands can, in love, work toward helping their wives achieve that goal of being Christ-like. But we can't demand it, and we certainly need to model it for them. Husbands who love their wives remember that they are fellow heirs of the grace of life. We're fellow heirs. We're co-heirs, husband and wife, right? And I think that the frustration that comes from this, I've had men come to me before and say, you know, how do I wash my wife in the word? How do I wash her with the water of the word? And how do I present her, you know, radiant and without stain or wrinkle? That's not your job. You're not the Holy Spirit. I think a marriage is in big trouble when the husband decides to be the Holy Spirit, and he is one that brings conviction to his wife. He is the one that begins to tell his wife spiritually what they should do and how they should think. And, you know, that sounds disgusting on its face, because it's really the job of the Spirit, and the Spirit does it in a way where he leads us, but we have free will. And I think husbands need to understand that their wives, at the end of the day, have free will. And yes, they're to be submissive, but we're to love those wives the way Jesus loved the church. And one of the ways Jesus loved the church is he understands that the church has free will. So the second part, husbands, which is point number two, husbands' care should match the way that he cares for himself. A husband's care for his wife should match the way he cares for himself. The Bible gives husbands a practical way to gauge whether or not their love is real, right? Are they caring for their wives, their needs, in a way that's comparable to the way they care for themselves? Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed it and care for it, just as Christ does the church. I think everybody knows what it's like to be around a selfish husband. A selfish husband does everything for himself that benefits himself at the expense of his bride. And that's not the way that we walk with Jesus. That's not the way that we, that's not what Christ does. Christ lays his life down for the church. And that's what we are to do for our wife. We're to lay our life down for her, to make sure that we love her the way that we love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, understanding, if we don't love ourselves, then we're going to be a bad husband. We need to learn to love ourselves, and the only way to love ourselves is to be completely wrapped up in Jesus, because he teaches us how to love ourselves. And when we begin to love him, we begin to understand his forgiveness and his grace, and it changes our complete outlook on our life, and we begin to understand that our value comes from him. There are two things that are really, really, really bad in this world. A man who is selfish and only cares for his own needs, that is a husband. And two, a wife that is not submitted to her husband in any way, shape, or form, right? Who does whatever she wants to do and puts herself in the place of her husband. Those two things right there lead to a lot of what we see in society right now is the breakdown of the family. And, you know, if kids don't see a wife that learns how to submit and respect, then they will not respect the husband. And if you can see it in our media, you can see it in our TV shows where men are made to be fools and they're stupid and they don't know anything. And, you know, all the cliches of men come to reality in these sitcoms. And that's just, it's the tearing down of the family unit. Yes, it's funny, but it's tearing down the family unit. Number three, a submitted wife and a loving husband creates a single being. So the one flesh principle, that comes into a better understanding here. And selfishness has no place in a marriage whatsoever. You can't want what's for you and not for your spouse. And ironically, a husband, you know, he meets the needs of his wife and he will find himself reaping the benefits. And note too that the standard for husbands is to love their wives. And it comes back to Christ loving the church. Right? We do that in the same way. We love our wives. And if you want to love your wife better, then you better have a better understanding or a more comprehensive understanding of what Christ's love is for the church. And I think sometimes we overlook that because we're lazy in the word. We're not a workman who rightly divides the word of truth. We're just a Sunday Christian who listens to messages, but we never apply anything. And I encourage you, men, if you're having a difficult time, we have a men's Bible study in our church. It meets every Saturday at 8 in the morning. Come on out for that. And you're going to be around men who are learning and have learned what it is to love their wife the way Christ loved the church. It's not easy. And the fourth point here is the love roles, right? And these roles are completely misunderstood by men and women in this society. And it's the job of the church, I believe, to make sure that these roles are communicated and modeled, right? So men, they fall under the same agape love, right? This agape love is unconditional and caring. And that's the way they must love their wives. They need to care, protect, cover, provide for, and love unconditionally. Women, as part of agape love, are to be submissive and respectful. Now, I'm speaking personally on this, not for the entire body of men in our church. But if you said, Greg, if you had it either way, would you rather be loved or respected? I would say I'd rather be respected by my wife, that is. And probably with the church. I know, because if you respect me, love is in that respect. But I know that people, you know, when they can love somebody and not be respected and not respect them. And that's not good, right? If we love, the natural result of that is respecting for the husband and for the wife. And it's not that men don't need unconditional love and caring and things like that. We do, but we just need it in a different way than women do. And that form is usually that we want to be respected. So application. There's a couple points of application. The first one, you're not going to really understand until I explain it, because I didn't know how else to say it. But what I get out of this verse is this God looking at me saying, Greg, stay in your lane. I'm like, what does that mean? Stay in your lane. Well, too often husbands look at Ephesians and latch on to verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And husbands sometimes take it upon themselves to make sure that their wives submit to their authority. But verse 22 was not written to husbands. It specifically was addressing the wife. And husbands are never to hold or to enforce their wives to submission. In other words, stay in my lane. I need to work on my own walk. Rather, husbands are told to love their wives. And verse 25 through 32 are for husbands. And that is what they should be focusing on. And if we're focusing on loving our wife, staying in my lane, and not looking at my wife saying, yes, you need to be submitted to me because the Bible says so. If you just learn to love your wife the way Christ loved the church, the submission will follow. Trust me. It will follow. And wives, if you want to be truly loved by your husband, submit to them and respect them, and love will follow. You can win your husband by that behavior. The second point is, what is the husband's responsibility? It's to receive God's love personally, right, as a Christian man, and then to pass that love on to his wife without selfishness, without reservation, without condition. Love her as Christ loved the church unto death. Seek her best. Sacrifice for her benefit. Give yourself to her wholeheartedly. And then when that's all done, love her some more. That's what our job is. That's what our job is. Our love for our wives is to be poured out upon us the same way that God's love and Jesus' love for the church is to be poured out on us. And we receive that. And as a male, our job is to take in that love and be, you know, reciprocate. And we just become, you know, God fills our bowl and we're poured out on our wife the same love that we've received. And God keeps pouring in and we keep pouring out. That, my friend, is how to have a marriage that is sustainable. If a wife truly submits and respects her husband and makes that her aim and stays in her own lane, and a husband stays in his own lane and focuses on loving his wife the way Christ loved the church, the outcome of that is obedient children. The outcome of that is a blessed home. The outcome of that is sustained marriage and happiness and joy and peace. We already know what happens when those things aren't followed. And it's a disaster. A disaster that this pastor has already suffered once in his life, and I never want to go through that again. Not only is it humiliating, it's a shame that you have for the rest of your life. Our job, church, is to model, those of you that are older, in our church and have been married, you model that for the young people. There's nobody out there modeling for young couples in our church. Nobody. The world doesn't model that. It's our job. Our job. And we have some great models in our church, and I want to applaud you for that. We have people that have learned what it is to love their wives as Christ loved the church. We have women in our church who have learned to submit to their husband in all things. And that's not easily done. And I applaud you and I respect you for just the effort put forth to do that. Because not only does God glory in that, it's a great example for people, and they're looking to people that are older to be that example. And I thank God that there are those in the church that are just that. So you may be hearing this message, you may be married, you may not know who Jesus Christ is, and your marriage may be a complete disaster, and you're thinking, you know, Pastor Greg, what do I need to do then to fix my marriage? How do I get my wife to submit to me? Well, I'm telling you, the first thing that you need to do is you need to submit your life to Jesus Christ and be saved and begin praying for your wife and begin loving your wife the way that the Lord is loving on you. And in turn, she will commit her life. She will submit to you. She will respect you. And all of this will happen. You say, well, that's a pretty bold statement. Yes, it is. But that is the natural result of when we give our life to the Lord Jesus. He puts our life back together. And if you've never done that, the Bible says you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And when you make that your prayer and you ask Jesus to come in, he will radically transform your life from the inside out. You will be sealed with the Spirit of promise. You will be given the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit and be called and given the ability to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. What a glorious time that is. And you can have all of that by making that your prayer today. If you've done that, find our number on the website. Give us a call and let us know what you have decided so that we may rejoice with you. If you listen regularly and you know the Lord and you walk with the Lord, he has shown you, O man and O woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that now. God bless you guys.